The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we're live. We're in studio, waiting to take your phone calls on anything you'd like to know about your health from a natural point of view. You know, no drugs, no surgery. Let's see if we can make a difference. You've tried, you've applied, you've done different things and turned out with, you know, not a whole lot of anything that works. Well, this is different. Give me a call, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. This is a different program. We're usually Sundays at high noon, 12 o'clock here on WMAL. And this, because of the Redskins, because tomorrow they play the Eagles, they've shifted us to this 4 o'clock slot on Saturday. It'll happen periodically throughout the season this fall. But nevertheless, we're here. And as always, the program can be found at RozelleRadio.com and on our website at RozelleCare.com. We have a very interesting program that we're going to get into. We're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, how these shows are fluctuating around. But again, we're here to talk to you at 888-630-9625. This Wednesday evening, September the 13th, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, you're going to have a very special opportunity. One, to really, if you attend this program, it's called Understanding Blood Tests and Hair Analysis, just laboratory work. You'll know more about functional medical testing and laboratory work than your physicians do. I promise you it's going to be one of the most amazing and eye-opening and revealing programs that you've ever attended. Your host, my guest in studio this Wednesday evening and right here today is Dr. Scott Lamp. Hey, Scott, welcome. This is a weird day for
us,
right?
This is a weird day. I talked to you about Ford. Do we get free tickets for this?
I think we have to. I mean, at least, you know, if they bump our program to Saturday, we have to get free Redskins tickets. That's 50 all.
50-yard line. That's all I'm asking for.
That's not a problem. But, you know, 20 rows up, 50-yard line, perfect. And, you know, I'll forgive everything.
Okay, great.
Not a problem. We'll get back to that. I don't know. Maybe they'll dump us completely nuts. Scott, listen, you know, this program, when we do laboratory testing in our office, we kind of take a different look at it. Mm-hmm. And there's the difference between traditional laboratory work and something that is called functional medicine laboratory mm-hmm. work. For our listeners, let's get into that first. What's the difference?
Well, I think one of the times when you talk about medical labs and reference ranges, it's usually pooled data from multiple sources. The thing is you're really not differentiating between a healthy individual and a sick individual. A lot of the information's pooled. A lot of these laboratories will keep on changing their numbers. They'll pull numbers from both people going to the hospital, both sick and healthy. And so it's kind of skews data. They talk about things like standard deviations. It means like how wide does this range start to go? When we look at people that we think are healthy and we realize they're healthy. There was a couple of years back a blood biopsy that was done close to 10,000 people, and they were looking at healthy individuals, and the numbers seem to skew a little bit smaller. It's not the same. So what we talk about is these gray areas that seem to happen. And the gray areas is where it's like, are they person falling off or are they in a functional range that they might not be as bad medically, but they're functionally on the road to possible major problems.
You know, and the thing that is that they don't pick those things up. And as you said, and just kind of, you know, to elaborate a little bit, you know, when I was in school, as my son would tell you, before the dinosaurs ruled the earth, you know, there were certain parameters.
Yeah, before the dinosaurs.
Be careful. Just be real careful. So now here's the situation is that, for example, white blood cell count.
Right.
Okay, doc sends you out and gets a complete blood cell count. Part of it's white blood cell count.
Right.
White blood cell count in my day, if you will, mm-hmm. lower end of normal was 5,000 cells.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Top end was about 8,500.
Right.
Okay. Some of the labs said 9,000. Mm-hmm. Today, when you look at the laboratory parameters, whether it's LabCorp or Quest or any of the other major laboratories, mm-hmm. you see it going all the way down to some of them saying 3,800,
3,900.
3,500. And, yeah. and as high up as 11,000 or 12,000. That's not normal. And
right.
the situation is that they're seeing more and more abnormal people, so they're considering those things normal. Not so much.
Yeah. And then the on top of that is, if you're taking medications for that, that can skew results too. And I think that's another thing you start taking a look at. Are they skewing the results based on medication, and then they're pulling these people? Is that what the person really is, or is that a medicated one? And they're not making a differentiation between those two.
You know, people are getting hoodwinked, and,
right.
and that's probably the best I can say. The problem is, and then we're going to get into it, and I'm going to give my opinion a little bit later in the program, is why we're seeing some of the skews, and, you know, what the end point, the ramification is, because, you know, in the allopathic community, when something is outside the parameters, guess what the first thing they do? They get, you know, writer's cramp, prescription time.
Right, right. And check the box.
Check the box and
right.
get it done. You know, take two aspirin and call me in the morning. Not okay. My guest in studio, your host and presenter this Wednesday evening, September 13th at the Roselle Center for Healing in Fairfax. Listen, I want to welcome anybody that's listening on a Saturday that has never listened to Dr. Tom Roselle live on Sunday at noon. We've been here for years doing this program on WMAL, and we'd like to invite you, not whether it's Saturday and catch us here at 4 o'clock or you catch us on Sunday at 12 o'clock, you know, to be part of this program. We do these programs for you to inform you, to give you the information that you need to have. And the in-house continuing education programs that we have every other week on different topics, this one that Dr. Scott Lamp is going to be doing on understanding laboratory tests and what they really mean, the application of them. You know, when your doctor says, well, we're going to watch it, not necessarily the best thing to do. But this Wednesday evening, remember, these classes, our in-house programs, are a gift. There's no charge. All we require from you is a reservation. So if you'd like to attend Dr. Scott's program, you can go online, go to RoselleCare.com, and there's a little box that says register now. You can do that, or you can call the office at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117, and tell the staff that you'd like to attend that program. And by the way, there's limited seating. We can only take so many people, and once we're there, we're there, and we'd love to invite you to our beautiful facility in Fairfax, state-of-the-art. And when you get into our classroom area, it's multi-dimensional input. We have screens, we have a drop-down screen, PowerPoints, and so forth. So there's not a bad seat in the house. You'll be able to see everything that you'd like to. Dr. Scott, let's get back to the program a little bit.
Yeah, we even have handouts for people.
That's right. That's right. This Wednesday evening, you're going to have...
And especially for this, too, we're going to be giving some handouts. I have some of the functional numbers that are on the typical lab work that people do. And that'll be a handout we're going to give out.
You know, I want to talk about something that a lot of people are deathly afraid of, and because it's such an abusive situation to begin with. You know, you go to the docs, and mm-hmm. they do your annual physical or semi-annual, whatever you're going to do. And they're going to run something called a lipid panel.
Right.
A lipid panel is all of the fats, you know, the
cholesterols
and triglycerides and LDLs and HDLs and so forth. And those tests that I just mentioned, those four, make up the standard lipid panel that most physicians are going to run, mm-hmm. generally 90% of them plus. And the bottom line is that the numbers have continued to cascade, and they don't tell the whole story. For example, I'll go back to when I was in school. Normal cholesterol level was anything at 225 or less.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 199 and mm-hmm. less. And it goes on for all those things. So let's talk about that a little bit. And the whole thing is that there's many more pieces to that lipid panel that you really need to know about before you can make a determination whether the patient has trouble. Because you can have a cholesterol level of 240,
right.
235, and there's no big deal.
Right.
But you got to know how those bad guys, those LDLs and those HDLs, which are the good protective guys, are actually broken down.
Yeah, I think a couple of things you can look at in regards to reference to that is that I think a lot of people, first off, I think one of the things you address in the class is what really is going to be cholesterol and why you do additional things besides just lipid panels, because cholesterols actually help make hormones. If, for example, if somebody has a little bit higher than the number and their cholesterol levels their hormone levels are off, or their thyroid's off, the cholesterol might be normally raised. If you don't do the thyroid hormone along with the blood work, you might be missing something. So there's one thing that happens in particular with that too. The other thing is that it seems like cholesterol has always been given a bad rap. And in my opinion on this is that there's multiple things that cholesterol is good for, and there's also additional testing that could be done, and there's political aspects that happened with that to some extent. We had actually a larger spectrum that was available in some of the companies we worked with that have been taken away that actually give us like what type of LDL, what type of high-density lipids or how many low-density levels, what type they are, because some of them are more beneficial than others, and that gives you a little bit better look at what you're looking at and you're dealing with.
You know, I have patients kind of look at this analogy when it comes to bad fats and good fats. You know, your LDLs, your supposedly very dense lipotrophics that stick to everything. Well, that's not really true completely across the board. There's the really bad guys, and I said, think about a heavy BB. And you got a whole bunch of BBs that drop to the bottom, they stick together, they clump together, and they start clogging everything up.
Right.
And then, but think about another piece that you have these beach ball-like things. You know, they bounce all over, they don't stick to anything, they just get in the way. And that's the differentiation. Which one do you have? Same thing with the good guys, the HDLs. Yeah. There are some really protective good guys, and there's some that
lazy.
Ain't so good.
Yeah. And so then again, the LDL class A's and some of those ones are really, really good, and actually they're like the beach balls. And what happens too is another thing that the cholesterol does is actually makes the lining of your cells. And you want to have nice, flumpy beach balls to fill in those spaces. If you have the other ones that are not, they're kind of like, when you say the BBs, they're almost kind of like deflated. I call them deflated beach balls. They're irregular. They don't do a very good job. And so basically they don't fill in the spaces, especially on the cell walls. And they can actually break off easy and cause some of the plaquing that we're concerned about.
You know, then the next step as you go into it, I'm going to tell a little story in a second about what happened to me a year ago. The thing that is that, you know, you have to look at the patient. You have to look at lifestyle. You can have all kinds of fats in your blood. And if you do not have a high inflammatory problem, that the blood is in a good place, there's not a lot of acid in it and so forth, you're not plaquing, just not going to.
Right.
Plaquing happens as a protective mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have these inflammatory things take place so it starts sticking all over the place. But if you have, going back to a higher cholesterol, you're not going to plaque unless you have inflammation. And this is the sin about this. So here's the story. Let's see if I can tell it very quickly. A year ago, I try to go, every couple of years, I go get a treadmill, get an echo, I do all those things. And so I walked into this cardiology group and first, you know, you fill out all the paperwork and so forth. And they looked at me because of my age and said, well, you forgot to fill out the medication portion. And I said, I don't take any medication. They just kind of looked at me, took me back into the intake nurse. And so I go back in and she takes my vitals and so forth. And she said, doctor, you didn't fill out the medication portion. I said, what's my blood pressure? And she said, well, it's 116 over 70. And she's kind of stuttering through it. And I said, I don't take any medication. So she finishes up that. They put me on the treadmill and the echo and so forth. And then I get to meet the doc. So I go in to see the doc, and he's looking at me, and he says, do you know, you have a very minimal ejection murmur. And I said, isn't that consistent with somebody who's been an athlete their entire life, and it's inconsequential whatsoever as long as all the other standards are normal? And he just looked at me. He says, well, you know, he says, I owe you standard of care. You have to make sure that you know, and then he goes on. He says, at your age, he said, you have a 12.5% chance of having a heart attack in the next 10 years. I said, doc, my age or people like me? He wouldn't answer me. So at that point, I said, you know, there's a problem here. We're coming up to a break. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp, your presenter this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing, is going to be talking about functional medical laboratory works. If you want to find out more than your doctor knows about lab work, attend. We'll be right back after some important messages. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Yes, indeed. It's Saturday afternoon at 4. I know it's confusing. We're supposed to be at Sunday at 12, but hail to the Redskins. That's why we're here. And, you know, as long as you continue to follow us, we're good to go, right? So Dr. Scott Lamp is my guest in the studio today. He's going to be your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. Going to be talking about a very, very important, very special topic. It's laboratory testing, functional medical laboratory testing. What's the difference between functional medicine testing and rather, you know, your normal Quest and your LabCorp and all that stuff and the stuff that your doctors order? And in our world, those things don't tell the story. Scott, why don't they?
Well, I think one of the key important parts that we're trying to have people understand is don't wait till pathology comes up a problem. So is there a way to kind of look at that? And there is a way to take a look at it. And if you've got a little bit more closer look, dig into the details of a laboratory report, look at the ends of those, the up and the down, the higher end and the lower end. And if somebody's still in their normal, but they're almost ready to hit that edge and they're having symptoms, understanding you're in this functional range, where's that gray area? And we like to take you out of the gray area and put you back into where you're supposed to be normally. And that's, I think, it's a really key aspect of understanding. And I think there's really this like, well, okay, my cholesterol's over 200, then I got to be on a statin drug. There's a lot more to it than that. And I think you got to take a look at the overall picture of things and have an understanding of what that all means and putting things together.
Yeah, it's craziness on my part when you have an absolute category and say everybody that falls in within these markers have a problem without looking right at the underlying situations. For example, there's a condition called metabolic syndrome. We used to call it Syndrome X.
Right.
And what you see with that, and the markers don't even have to be off completely. They just have to be, there's three of them that rise together. Mm. And one is very simple, is blood pressure. You know, it starts kind of sneaking up. It's not outside the normal parameters. And then you start seeing blood sugar levels kind of sneaking up. They're still not outside the normal levels. And you start seeing lipid levels, right, what we talked about in the first part of the program. When they start rising as a group, it's a flag.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about. We're looking for flags before it becomes a disease process.
Right. And I think we're also looking at certain ratios of things, too, that actually make a little bit, sometimes we're not talked about or heard about, that you can take a look at to actually give an idea about. You know, we talk about things like insulin resistance and looking at the sugar handling, but you can actually see that sometimes in the blood work.
You know, it's a very interesting process when you look at parameters from our point of view, because a patient will come in and say, my doctor said, you know, I have to be on this drug for the rest of my life to control this. I said, well, what did he tell you was the problem was coming from? And again, we get into the, you know, the symptomological shutdown. You know, let's fix the symptom. Well, maybe this is not a symptom. Did you finally go to the place and ask the question, why is it that? Why is that there, you know, there's a problem? Scott, you do a lot of testing when it comes to thyroid function. And that's another area that's solely abused.
Right. And two numbers they look at is strictly that.
If you're lucky. Looking,
yeah, lucky. And it's like TSH is usually probably the first
thyroid stimulating hormone.
And then the other one is T4, which is total T4, not free T4, but total T4. And because one stimulates the other and say, oh, that's the answer. Well, there's so much more to that. And not to get too complicated on the airways, but there's multiple more hormones that are associated with this, and things, then really it's T3 that interacts,
which
actually T4
hormone
turns into T3.
Right.
And
liver.
You can measure that. And, but, you know, the people come up, their TSH seems to be normal, at least in the laboratory medical reference range. They still have cold hands and feet. They still have all the different aspects, brittle hair that, you know, they don't digest well, so on and so forth. And if you take a look at a stronger look, it's like, wait a minute, here's other hormones, other things. If you look deeper, you'll see that things don't convert or change in the way they're supposed to. And you can start catching those before it becomes a real problem.
You know, a woman came in the other day and she brought me her thyroid panel.
Yeah.
And she said, well, my doctor said I don't have any problem. I said, you have a thyroid problem. But he said, I don't have a problem. I said, come here. You're going to do the math. So I sat her down and I said, here's the low, here's the high. I said, do the math. Where's the middle? I said, which side of the middle are you on? And which side of all the middles are you on? And I took her through T4 has to be converted to T3. Then you have to know how much of it's actually available.
Right.
And then how much of it's actually getting into the body.
Right.
And she just looked at me like, why didn't my doctor tell me that? Well, the thing with it is that there's too many drug companies that come in and say, here's the parameters. And then these guys who are well educated,
Right.
You know, medical physician is not an idiot. He's a smart guy, but somehow they forgot how to apply that smartness, that that ability, that capacity. Not all of them, but in many situations, it's too easy to say, well, this is normal. And, you know, in today's world, they don't spend the time anyway.
And then when you talk about thyroid, one of the biggest range differentials is that. I mean, you're taking a look at that, and there's like when you look at TSH, you're looking at 0.45 to 4.5, and elective functional range, depending, it argues between 1.8 and 2.5 or 1.8 to 3, depending on who you want to ask. But that's the functional range. That's a lot of difference between the medical and the functional aspect.
You know, go back, diagnose the patient, not the stuff that's in front of you. The patient says there's a problem and all the symptomological representations are there. You know, take another look at your laboratory work. We're coming up to a break, halfway point. We'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here live in studio. We're going to take your phone calls on any subject that you'd like to, even if it doesn't have anything to do with the laboratory testing. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp. He's going to be talking about functional or understanding medical diagnostic laboratory testing from hair analysis to blood supply to all the other things. Urine?
Yeah.
We're going to cover urine, probably some
saliva testing in a bit. It's a combination of a lot of different factors. And again, a lot of these are going to be beneficial in the overall look at a patient and should be and sometimes be necessitated to get to the bottom line of somebody.
You know, it's an important situation. You need to understand your lab work, and you need to understand at least how it applies to you, even more so than your doctor does. Because in today's world, the truth of it is that if it doesn't hit, if you don't fall into certain parameters, sometimes we don't think through the application of it. You know, here's one, Scott, that I want to talk about, and I'm sure that you'll talk about it this Wednesday evening as well. You send a patient out for a traditional Western blot Lyme's test, okay? And it comes back, you know, negative.
Right.
Or inconclusive. But you know that the patient has Lyme's. Why does that test not show it? What parameters are they not following? What other testing needs to be done?
Well, again, it depends on also the laboratory, too. Sometimes very specific laboratories are a lot better at doing and identifying things along the way. The other thing is you got to understand, too, is when did you get the Lyme? And we got things talked about intracellular testing and extracellular testing. When you test the blood, you're testing the what's outside of the cell and what's flowing around through the bloodstream. A lot of these spirochetes in Lyme disease likes to get inside the cells. So when it gets inside of a cell, is at the particular time, cannot be found or seen. So you've got to take a look at other parameters and go a little bit farther. There's something called a CD57 test that's actually that's used in some of the laboratories, and it basically looks at the natural killer cells. And you kind of sometimes may have to take an indirect look at something, like the CD57 measures in the natural killer cells. So if the body's really fighting something and those CD57 numbers are low, that you know you're dealing with something that's in the system, but it's not being fully identified by the other aspects you were talking about.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. And, you know, they run a matrix, and they only show certain bands. And all the bands aren't being identified, and they bury themselves very deeply. There's something called an IGM. And those are the important ones. Those are the ones that actually tell us. And then if you run that with a CD57 on top of it, CD57 is not about Lyme disease, but it's an immune marker. It's an important immune marker. So you run both of them, and you can see whether the body's struggling or not, and you can say, hey, listen, we got a problem here. Let's go to the phones. Ron, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, Dr. Tom. I wanted to give you some lab results, if that's okay.
We can. Just make it quick.
All right. One is AST, parentheses, SGOT. It's always been high. The range is 5 to 34. Mine's usually in around the 40 range.
Are any of that's the liver markers. Any of the other liver markers high or low?
LDH, 127. CK, 66. ALT, 30. And GGT, 18, all within the normal range.
Yeah, it sounds totally normal to me. So if that has been a situation for you, I'm going to say all your life, correct me if I'm incorrect.
For the last 5 years.
For the last, okay. So you, have you had, are you a drinker at all?
No, I don't use any alcohol. No.
Any medications on a regular basis? Do you do any kind of drugs at all?
Tamsulosin is the only thing.
Okay, so how long have you been taking that?
About 3 years.
All right. So if it's been 5 years and you've been on that for 3 years, there could be a correlation. Generally, you look at different phases of liver detoxification and you see what your liver is trying to do. So in that type of situation, you want to look to see where the liver is struggling. It's going to be a phase one detoxification problem. What that means is this. That's where your hormones are handled. That's where alcohol is handled. That's where medications are handled. A lot of toxic material comes through and is routed that way. But if everything else is normal, it tells you that there's an ongoing struggle to eliminate certain things from the body. And does it mean it's pathological? No. The answer is yes and maybe, and it's more likely no. But you would have to look at other pieces of the puzzle. So, Ron, I can't tell you specifically. Most physicians are going to tell you that that's normal, not to worry about it. It's not so far out of normal ranges. There's not any liver damage. The way we look at it at that point, I would run some other panels. I would look at phase one detoxification panels. I would look at how your body's handling, you know, certain elements from chlorides all the way through. And if you're exposed to chlorine and fluorides on a regular basis, that also can raise that area. So, the short answer is you're probably not going to check out from it, but if that continues to rise or if there's other parameters that begin to, you know, move in different directions, that's a flag. But I'd like to look at other things, and I'd look at inflammatory markers and, again, functional medicine markers that look at phase one detoxification.
I think also, what was your ALT number?
Say it again. What?
Your ALT.
ALT. What was your number?
ALT was 30, and the range is from 10 to 40.
Yeah, we're good. Because our, you know, when we look at functional, some of the tests, and again, depends on how the laboratory runs their numbers, but we usually look at that between 10 and 26. And that already means that's a little bit over on a functional basis.
If it's 10 to 40, and it's IU / L, liters.
Yeah, so you're already running a little bit over on the functional side, so there's always a little, there's already a little bit of imbalance, as Tom was talking about. It's the phase one aspect.
So which
it's
which
already being affected to some extent.
Yeah. So what you want to look at, Ron, is simply this, is that you want to look at all the parameters, even though they're not outside of normal patterns. You want to see if are they rising? Are they starting to come up a little bit more than they should be? That begins to tell you whether there's a problem. Happy to, you know, to give you more information. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott is going to be doing a very insight look at laboratory testing, what it really means, what the markers mean to you, and he's going to give you a handout. He's going to give you all the functional medicine parameters. And this is an opportunity for you to really understand what goes on intimately. Let's go to the phones. Ron from Manassas. Well, we have two Rons today. Hey, Ron.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great, my friend.
Good.
Sorry, I just happened to turn you guys on. Look, my wife is 65 years old, and she has had a problem with Graves' disease. They did the radiation or whatever to kill her thyroid a couple months ago. Right now, her last TSH was 0.41, and the last T4-3 was 1.8. That was done in, like, August or whatever.
So T4 is 1.8?
T4 free is 1.8.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, she is losing hair like nobody's business, and for a woman, that is very traumatic. I've been married to this woman for 45 years, and it is killing me because we can't find out what the heck to do.
The problem is how they went after it. First of all, they destroyed the thyroid, so she's not producing any thyroid hormone anymore.
Yeah, they put her on 125 micrograms of Tecacin or whatever. I believe once a day, and then a half a tablet on Sunday. Well, that was the latest change.
Okay. Is she? There's a lot of things that you have to find out. This is not a simple situation. They used radiation, so they're knocking out all kinds of things, not just in the thyroid, but also the body's going to react in a different way. The thyroid obviously is going to control hair. It's going to control, you know, other body functions. It's going to do the job on hormones. When they destroy the thyroid, they're also destroying the parathyroid. Parathyroid controls calcium metabolism, so you have to watch relative to, you know, the progression of osteoporosis and osteopenia. those things will show up if there is no parathyroid. You have to be very careful if she has Graves' disease or had it because of it's an autoimmune situation. You got to look at the gut. You have to look at the intestinal tract and deal with that first above everything else. That's why Graves' disease shows up, because it's an autoimmune reaction that starts there. So there's a tremendous amount of other information that you have to go after.
And the other aspect is protein is extremely important for hair. And so a lot of things has affected digestion and things like that. If the body's not getting the protein to this hair follicles, take it. I mean, you're not going to grow the hair very well.
Thyroid affects every cell in the body.
Everything.
And there's a feedback loop that starts with the adrenal system. It affects the pituitary, then affecting the thyroid and so forth. But there's going to be a cascade of other things that are going to continue to happen. So just to tell you, you know, to do this, I'd have to see all kinds of other markers. TSH is low because it's not stimulating anything anymore. You have to, if she's being given any kind of thyroid medication that is an extract of corn, two common ones are going to be Synthroid and Levothyroxine. Both of those are extracts from corn. And if you have any grain sensitivity and that's an extract, you're just compounding the problem that was there to begin with anyway. And a lot of the from Hashimoto's patients to Graves patterns and so forth are a result of that type of immunological reaction.
Yeah, I mean, there's things also in the allergy aspects, too, that could be related to actually inflames autoimmune conditions. I mean, things from gluten to dairy are big aspects. You got to really look at the big four in relationship to how do you handle corn, as Tom was talking about, how do you handle soy, how do you handle dairy, how do you handle gluten. Those all play a part.
So,
okay, who do I go to help solve this problem? I realize it's very complex or whatever. Is there name of a doctor or a person or whatever that I can take her to see? Because I really want to solve this problem.
I know you do, and I understand, and I hear, you know, the pain in your voice. The first thing I would do is, why don't you come? Well, I'm not going to recommend anybody over the air, but why don't you show up for Dr. Scott Lamb's program this Wednesday evening? Ask him some questions privately after the program, and let's see if we can guide you. We do a lot of work. Our functional medical nutrition department does a lot of work with it. Our acupuncture department does. There are some other physicians around that understand the pattern, but we may also be dealing subtly with fungal problems that have embedded into the skin and so forth. The ramifications and the parameters are way too big to just touch upon them. But, you know, no cost. Come and say hello to us and talk to Dr. Scott and see if you can get a little bit more data and understanding on the condition. Ron, I appreciate it. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Ron.
But seriously, we'll give you much more data. And there are some people that can help that understand functional medicine protocols. And I would tell you what I would do with my wife if that was the situation. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell, my guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp. We're talking about his coming program this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing. He's going to be talking about understanding your laboratory work and what it really, really means. This first caller that we took, we started talking about his liver enzymes. And, you know, as Dr. Lamb said, you know, he asked him the question, what are the other markers of the liver doing? Those are critical. You know, when you get an SGOT or an ALT that's slightly above normal references and everything else looks normal, you have to look, are the other patterns starting to come up? Mm-hmm. What other markers happen to be there?
You know, are they on the edges? Are the other edges of ranges, which are supposed to be normal, but then, like you said, take a look a little bit deeper. I like what you said before. Is it right in the middle, or are you on the edge?
Yeah, and, you know, it's the same thing. You can be high normal, but is that not normal necessarily? Look at the patient in front of you. You know, if you're low normal, the doctor says, well, it's normal, you don't need anything and so forth. Well, really? And then, you know, if we're talking about thyroid conditions, as I suggested to our last caller, if you have any kind of sensitivities to grain, there's certain medications that you can't take. And unfortunately, there's not every physician out there treating these conditions don't get it. They don't understand it. And there's a tremendous amount of literature that's available to you, and we want you to make sure that you know where to find it. This Wednesday evening, we're going to be talking about those things. Join us at the Rozell Center for Healing in Fairfax. It's at 7 p.m. Dr. Scott Lamb will be your presenter. These classes are our gift to you. Please take advantage of them. You need to be, you know, as the old term, that educated consumer, you need to be an educated patient so you can make a decision on your own. 888-630-9625. Scott, let's talk about the difference between blood testing and saliva testing. What's the difference? I mean, we do a lot of both, but, you know, why would we do one over the other?
Well, I think sometimes it's looking at there's sometimes things are bound up in blood, and there's other aspects that are free form. You'll talk about a free form. And also, I think also the ease of being able to do some of the testing. And I think the big one that has a lot of merit is saliva testing for cortisol or adrenal response. And what you're looking for, some of the hormones are tied up, which means they're potential, but they're not active, versus a free hormone, which is actually free, which is actually the one that's actually happening up. Part of the disease process could be that they don't come on unbound. So you want to look at the free hormones as much as you possibly can. And the saliva testing for that also, especially when you deal with something like the adrenal gland, which is a gland that sits on top of the kidney and is associated with stress, also runs on the circadian rhythm. And the best way to look at that is actually looking at it over a full day, and it's usually sampled four different times, instead of just getting a blood draw pulled. You could do the same thing, I think, on women's, on somebody who's natural or childbearing years. When you're looking at progesterone and estrogen levels and you sample blood, there can be a lot of variations in that between, you know, those 28 days or 30 days, whatever the average is for that person. And do you hopefully you pick it around ovulation time, but are you accurate?
You know, one of the things I forgot to tell Ron from Forestville on the question, the liver enzymes, is that when those liver enzymes start going up, the other thing that you need to look at is muscle being eaten up. Is there any condition that would cause muscle deterioration? Because the muscle enzymes, and we see it a lot with very intense athletes that don't give their body a rest. Mm-hmm. You start seeing some liver enzymes, particularly SGOT or SGPT and ALT, they'll start slightly just be above normal. So that would, if they're not an athlete, I'd start looking for other conditions that would cause those things to begin to break down and show up.
But again, you got to look at a really good history.
History is critical.
Yep.
You know, when I was in school, multiple professors said, patient gives you 80% of the diagnosis by the history. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We've been bumped to Saturday because tomorrow the Redskins open against Philadelphia. We'll be back on Sunday at 12 noon. Coming up, just pay attention. Go to RozelleCare.com. That's how you register for Dr. Scott Lamb's program this Wednesday evening. And you can check out the rest of our in-house programs as well. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio, generally Sundays at 12 o'clock high, but today's Saturday at 4 p.m., because you're going to be listening to the Redskins opening game against the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow. So we got shifted, but they better, as Dr. Scott said, my guest in studio, we need tickets and compensation.
Yep.
That's right.
We 50 yard line,
about 20 rows up, and all things will be forgiven. Not a problem.
Right.
Now, seriously, we're here for you. All these programs can be re-listened to on an ongoing basis. There's actually hundreds of them over the years, and they're all listed on RozelleRadio.com, and you'll find everything that we've done and topics that are there. So go to RozelleRadio.com. But more importantly, this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing, Dr. Scott Lamp will be presenting a night on understanding laboratory testing and hair analysis. And let's get into that for a couple of minutes. We're almost, you know, coming up on the short end of the program. Why hair analysis, Dr. Scott?
Hair analysis itself, it actually kind of reflects metabolic activity. I think it, how well the body's using minerals and how they're being used, either taken up or being excreted. And it gives us an insight about how that works, especially when you're dealing with things like adrenal stress, fibromyalgia, fatigue. It's a very good marker for taking a look at the overall, how the body's utilizing things. There's been discrepancies with the hair analysis in the past, but I think you got to take an overall look of how well it works. And I think a good example was, I think there was a paper that came out, and it was in Germany, about kids that are exposed to mercury. They're in a known exposed mercury area. And then some of those kids had autism. And they expected on the hair analysis, they poo-pooed the hair analysis, and they expected the hair analysis to show mercury. It showed mercury in all the healthy kids, but not in the people with the autism. So they said it was a bad test. I said, no, it's not really a bad test when you look at it, because it was a good test saying that they were not able to break down, metabolize the mercury. They weren't able to do it. So it actually stays stored. And so one of the things you look at is you got to look at the overall parameters. Again, history means so much in that understanding. So are they processing stuff out or not processing out? And do they need assistance with that? So there's a lot of minerals and toxins that are actually in there, and it tells us about that. And I think one of the other things is really the ratios of certain things in the relationship, not just necessarily one element, but what's the ratio to other things that kind of give you a snapshot, especially thyroid and adrenals.
And
it works really well.
They accumulate. They stack on top of each other. So a little bit of one means nothing, but when you take a little bit of one, a little bit of another, a little bit of the third, now you've got something that's toxic.
It's called a pattern.
You think.
And that's what we're looking at is a lot of things with blood work. A lot of times just one element is not enough. You know, you have a low probability if you're just saying, okay, that's it. I'm not going to look at it. It's just either a blood test or I'm going to look at hair analysis and that's it. No, low probability. You got to put your other findings, the patterns mean more. Your examination means more. The history means more. And that means putting those all together in certain things that are, I mean, and that makes a very high probability that you're correct in what you're trying to do.
And if you don't have guidelines, if you don't have things to measure, if you will,
right.
You know, a patient comes in to see us and we do all kinds of preliminary measurements, even before they see us, and which are critical from either oxygen saturation in their body. And we do blood pressures, not just in one position, but multiple positions all at one time. We look for shifts and changes and things of that nature. So it's critical that you look at a lot of different pieces. You know, when you're dealing with toxic reactions with metals, you know, you said the body stores them. They do. The body tries to protect itself from these invaders.
Taking in fat, right.
Right. And if you don't do hair analysis, which is the end portion of metabolic pathways, or something called provocative challenges, which takes a drug to make that happen, you're really not going to see anything. But this Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp is going to be your host, your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing, 7 p.m., Listen, you owe it to yourself to find out about what all these things mean that your doctor says, well, it's fine, and it really isn't, and you still have symptoms. And, you know, what can you do to make a difference? What do you want to ask them for? And when you walk away from this class, you'll know what to ask your doctor to do and say, hey, listen, I want this done, not just because you think it should be done, but I want it done. We're coming up to break. We'll see you. Actually, we're coming up to the end of the show. We'll see you next week. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle.